American woman. It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. I wish each and every one of you a happy Monday. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time, and it is time to step into this. And I really do appreciate all of you. I so appreciate this team I get to work with as well. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Producer Steve, it is the day after Sunday, the day before before Tuesday.
Yeah,
I said the word.
You try to couch it, but you already said happy Monday, so never mind.
Curmudgeon there on Mondays. So, Steve, great to have you at the board. You do such a great job. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MMONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get all kinds of important information, our most recent op-eds, our upcoming guests. There's two very good op-eds that are there. Patty Kurgan, our researcher, has finished her series on LEAP, this new marijuana tax for the children that is on the ballot. And she's done a super job with that. And LEAP, as you know, she's got it right here for me, is the Learning, Enrichment, and Academic Progress Program. And once again, this is couched as a new marijuana state marijuana tax for the children. But Patty has really unpacked it. Who really benefits from this is cronies, cronyism. They have figured out a way to use tax dollars, and they will put in an unelected, unaccountable authority board who makes all the decisions. The board is chosen by this governor. They get to choose their replacements. They're unaccountable to the voters. They're unaccountable to the state legislature. They're unaccountable to future governors. And they're unaccountable to the State Board of Education. Producer Steve, what could go wrong with that?
And like we predicted, I saw my first one. I think maybe you said you saw one too. The TV ads for this. And who did they trot out but the old war horse? What's his face? Federico Pena.
Ah, okay. I didn't see that one. But yeah, when you look at all the cronyists and the slick ads, and those probably be a slick mailer, you have to say, wait a minute. Why would they be paying all of this money for these ads to really help the children? You know, so take a good look at that. Anyway, go to my website. We have all of the op-eds that we've done on that. And of course, our voter's guide is there as well. And what we've done is we've done an analysis on the three statewide issues, as well as I live in Lone Tree. We did analysis on the massive 55% proposal in the retail sales tax here in Lone Tree. And I'm hoping you can use that as a template as you look at the tax questions in your community. And then we also have a recommended list of school board candidates. We're realizing those are some of the most important races in the country. And that's why we have been, actually a number of school board candidates have reached out to me. And my policy, my friends, is any candidate that reaches out to me, I will get them on the air. Because I think it's important to give them a forum so that they can talk about these important issues. So be sure and check that out. These shows come to you because of your support. I really appreciate it. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
And this is my own education here. I heard you say something either Thursday or Friday of last week that in the school board elections on the ballots, there is no D or R, and you had a special term for that.
It's called a nonpartisan.
Ah, okay.
Okay. And that's a whole nother conversation. But yes, it's very difficult to figure out, you know, where people stand exactly. And interestingly, I was talking to someone It was one of the, Sandra Bankey's down in the Colorado Springs area. I think it's Academy. I'd have to look at it. She said what is interesting is that those, the incumbents that have been pushing forward, you know, these different social ideological agendas in school, and of course our kids are falling behind, they're actually starting to try to co-opt the candidates that we're recommending their message, because that is the message that really resonates with people. But then what we see happen is these radical progressives, and once they, again, when they get on school board or get back into office, can you say Gavin Newsom, you see then they go right back to their heavy-handed wanting to control people. So let's stay on task, Steve. We've got a jam-packed show planned for everyone today. But again, one of my great sponsors that brings this show to you is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations: Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And every, every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday and Sunday, they have football specials. So they have dine-in specials to go, or if you're having a bunch of friends over, they've got a party pack special. So go to my website and be sure and check that out. I really recommend all of my sponsors there. And before we get to Dale Elliott, he is running for Littleton Public Schools School Board. I was, because we're going to have George Teal on, Commissioner George Teal from Douglas County, in segments 3 and 4, and we'll talk about Douglas County getting out of Tri-County Health. I was looking for health quotes, Steve, and of course then Proverbs came up. And so here is a Yiddish proverb, and I thought this is very appropriate for what's happening in America today. He said, an imaginary ailment is worse than a disease.
Is this entrapment?
maybe. So,
although
okay,
we do need to be careful real quick here. We are not saying that there is no virus out there. That's not what we're saying. This is a whole nother discussion that goes off to, you know, the government response and tyranny and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I so appreciate you clarifying those things, because you know that like even when we get over to electric vehicles, we just are searching for the truth on this. Yes, COVID is certainly a thing. However, when you look at the survival rates of people, particularly under the age of 65, under the age of 80, it's questionable why we are having all of this government force. And so that's where I was putting the imaginary. So I appreciate your clarification on that, Steve.
Well, just doing my duty.
So, doing your duty.
Moving forward.
Keeping us on track, yes. So these school board races are so important. And on the line with me is Dale Elliott, and he has put his hat in the ring for Littleton Public Schools School Board. Dale, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Kim. I'm a curmudgeon also, so.
Another curmudgeon. Two curmudgeons on Monday. There we go. So, Dale, I actually have a great affinity for curmudgeons, so that's good. Tell us, why have you decided to run for school board for Littleton Public Schools?
I was talking to one of my classmates from the Air Force Academy. We talked a lot, and we're together after 50 years. It's a long time. But and the question was, well, the country's going to pot. What can we do about it? And all of a sudden, this thought popped in my brain. And I said, well, you can run for the school board. That's it, because it's local. It's you can get your ideas across, and it's small. You can get your arms around it, that kind of thing. But it's true, in Littleton Public Schools, which I'm running in, you might say that it's treasure, it's an ornament, it's really a beautiful school system, and they've been able to maintain a pretty good quality in there all through the years, and it's a nice place to be. So there's one question is, well, what's the problem? Well, the problem is we're not quite sure if there is a problem, because I particularly am opposed to this critical race theory that's running across the country, and it's popping up in various places. You know, read about it in Virginia and California, and people are getting aware of it. And it's what used to be just a legal thing that people would take in graduate school and puff up their resume a little bit. But and now it's become a real, and it could be a real monster. So my only candidacy is kind of based on this big issue. Well, is it there in the Littleton school system? And if it is, call it out, identify it, because one of the tactics of the people supporting this critical race theory is to kind of go underground with it and sneak it in softly on little cat's feet. It patters in without you knowing about it, and all of a sudden you got a full-blown thing in the curriculum, and it's driving the curriculum away from the reading, writing, and arithmetic that we're supposed to be doing. That's it.
Boy, you and I are on the same page on that, Dale, because as I've looked, I'm a product of a very good public education. I'm not going to tell you my age, but that was back before all of this stuff started to happen. And again, it was focusing on reading, writing, arithmetic, history, science, critical thinking, civics, all those things that are important so that our kids are successes. And it's interesting, I have a friend that gave a presentation the other evening at an event I was at. Her father is Black, her mother is Korean. So she kind of has, you know, the creds to talk about critical race theory. And to your point, you mentioned that it was something that was for many years at the college level. And I think it was probably a bit different at that time. It's been co-opted. And she said critical race theory, because many of the girls had questions about it. And I'm paraphrasing how I heard it, was no longer about race relations and bringing us together as a country and, you know, understanding that we've had certainly challenges in that, but to bring us together, which I think most of the country wants to come together. Critical race theory is about dividing us and about retribution. And that was a big aha for me. That is something that has no place in our schools, dividing our children, teaching kids that they're oppressors and victims. You never set anybody up for success with that. And then retribution on that. And that just goes into the politics of envy and all those negative things. So that was a big aha for me, Dale.
Yeah, that's it. It's like a big wedge, it drives people apart. And for those who have dived deep into Karl Marx and communism, that's their central tactic: is you try to find a large enough group that you can gather in and kind of co-opt and start beating the drum for that group and make them feel that they're beat up by the rest of the society, and then eventually they should, you know, start marching in the streets, that kind of thing. And so it is it's kind of like an idea or a doctrine of hatred in that way. It's going to take communities like Littleton and Centennial, which make up the Littleton Public School District, and it's going to divide them apart into different groups, which we don't want. You know, the reading, writing, arithmetic are the key, but in my mind, as I've starting to explore more and more, reading in the state in Colorado is deficient. It's not what it should be. So they really should emphasize reading to the extent to get their scores up, and that will take a long time. Because reading, if you can read, you can succeed in life. But it hasn't really been that way. They say that they had a test a couple years ago in Colorado and tested the third graders, and 30 to 40% of them were at grade level and the rest of them weren't. And that's atrocious. I mean, gosh, you'd expect that from this, you know, the city of Chicago or someplace like that, but not in Colorado. So
there's a lot of work. And after all the money that we've spent, but I do want to mention one other thing, and it's not just reading, but it is reading great literature. You know, there's a lot of junk out there. And we need to be teaching our kids to strive to search for truth and excellence. And so that is another thing. And curriculum is super important on that as well. So being able to read, being able to think, and also searching for truth and excellence. I think all those things go together.
Yeah, they're right. There's a whole bag of things that make up becoming a good citizen in our society. But reading, I've finally concluded, is that's the key, because if you can read, you can find out, you can discover, you can go on the internet and become an educated person. But I don't care if you're a smart mathematician and if you can't read.
It's a problem, yeah. So, hey, Dale, how can people get more information about you?
My website is just type in dalelps.com, D-A-L-E. LPS.com, And that'll bring up another thing that says vote for Dale, and you click on that, and that's my webpage. And has my story on there. I bled it all out and said, you know, I was in Colorado until the seventh grade, and my dad moved to California. I came back after high school to the Air Force Academy, and that was fortunate for me. That was pretty good. And then I had a 21-year Air Force career, and I lived the dream. I was a fighter pilot. And I could make my world go any way I wanted, up, down, through, around, spinning. It was just great. It was just wonderful. But Peter Pan eventually has to grow up, and he ages out of the field, okay, so to speak. And so I retired and came back to Colorado. I'm a fifth-generation person here.
Okay.
I can talk a lot about it.
Okay. Well, Dale, thank you so much. And again, that website is dalelps.com, dalelps.com. And thank you for stepping forward.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for your vote. I appreciate it. Bye.
Okay. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Trent Lisi, and he is running for school board in Weld RE4. I think that is Severance and Windsor, but we'll find out when we come back and talk to Trent Lisi.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Trent Lisi, and he is running for school board. And he's running for school board in Weld RE4. Trent, is that Windsor and Severance?
Yeah, good morning. It is Compass's Windsor, Severance, and then West Greeley.
Okay, and why have you decided to throw your hat in the ring?
Well, good question there that you have this morning. The reason why I decided to throw my hat in the ring is that we live in a very politically heated environment, and there's just a lot of things going on at the national level that's actually infiltrated into the local level. And with CRT, SEL, you have, this mask mandate, vaccines, those kind of things. And, you know, we need to have more conservative voices on school board. Especially here in Windsor, where we're seeing those things starting to surface.
Where do you stand on curriculum regarding critical race theory? I was talking with Dale Elliott about that.
Yeah, obviously, definitely opposed to it. It does nothing more than divide us even more, especially little kids that don't understand anything about race or skin color or those kind of things. So definitely needs to stay out of the school. And then we just need to get back to the basics, you know, reading, writing, math. Those are the things that we need to be teaching our kids, you know, when they leave school, high school, being the best kids that we can raise them to be, along with you know, the parents are number one. I mean, they've got to be involved from the beginning.
Well, and actually, I have thought about when I've thought about like getting back to our basics, getting back to our foundation. And I've decided that, and it's not my idea, but I'd actually heard a sermon on this regarding reclaim. And I thought, we need to reclaim these things. We need to reclaim a great education for our children. We need to reclaim these basics for them. So I've decided that and language is such an important thing. So I've decided I'm going to use that word reclaim. What do you think about that?
You know, that's a great way to put it. We absolutely need to do that. You know, I think last week when you were talking with Aaron Smith, the guy I'm running with here in the school district for the board, you know, we've been asleep at the wheel. And I guess you can, I told someone last night, this is the positive thing that came out of COVID was the fact that parents actually really got a taste of what was going on. And we have been asleep at the wheel too long. And you're absolutely correct that we've now stepped up and said, hey, we're gonna take this back. And it's our responsibility as parents to really make sure that our kids are being taught what it is that just being taught the basic fundamentals.
Isn't it interesting how something that can be so disruptive, such as the reaction to COVID-19, I agree with you. I think that there's been some real positives because I had wondered what would we do about this? There's so many great teachers out there, Trent, and they just want to teach. They just want to be in the classroom and teach. But what we've seen with many of these school board candidates that have been bought and paid for by the teachers union for all these years, our kids were falling behind. We didn't quite realize it, but parents were watching what their kids were learning online, going by, you know, maybe the kids are in the bedroom and they're hearing the curriculum. They're like, wait a minute, you bring your computer out here and you sit right here by me so that we can understand what's going on. And I think that it has created a great awakening. And when I look at the number of people that are stepping forward to run for school board, and I see so many of these candidates for school board and city council, they say, well, I didn't really want to run for this. And that's kind of like my first words, that may be the person you really should vote for, because the person that really wants that job, they maybe haven't been doing a great job for us for quite some time.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I mean, I was on the school board once before in Windsor from 2005 to 2009. And I mean, it was a different age that we were living in even 12 years ago. And, you know, I never thought I'd ever throw my hat in the ring for this again. And it was literally 24 hours before I picked up my packet that I said, nope, I got to do this. There's just way too much stuff going on and being pushed at our kids with gender identity, sexual orientation, how do they identify at our lowest levels. I mean, we're talking kindergarten, first, second graders.
Yeah.
And I said, no, enough's enough. You know, we can't be having this going on.
Well, and the other big question out there on the table, Trent, is what about this forced masking of our children? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's unfortunate. You know, here in Windsor, they passed a pre-K through 12. Oh, I guess it's been about a month ago or less here, indefinitely. No date, end date in sight. And, you know, this is all has to do with power and control. It has to do with, this is recommended at the state level. And, you know, it just, our district's really good at picking and choosing what they want to say. Well, this is a local issue versus this is what a state issue is. And, unfortunately, we live in a district here which, you know, they would prefer if these kind of things were, you know, mandated by, actually in law by the state or at the federal level. And, you know, we're just doing more damage than we are good with these kids, mm-hmm. especially even on the mass level. because it doesn't make any sense at all when you have to wear one in school, but everywhere else you go in your life, you don't have to wear one. It makes no sense.
Well, and when you don't have an end date in sight, that indicates to me that you're not really looking for solutions. Again, it looks more like power and control and what that does to our kids. So, hey, Trent Lisi, how can people get more information about you?
Yeah, they can visit my webpage. That's www.lisi, that's L-E-I-S-Y. For, okay. F-O-R, Weld, W-E-L-D, R-E, for.com.
Okay, so that's Lisi, L-E-I-S-Y, for spelled out, Weld, R-E, for the number, .com. So again, that's Trent, and it's
correct.
L-E-I-S-Y. Trent, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thank you very much, Kim.
Okay, great. And before we go to break, one of my great new partners is the Kirsch Insurance Group, and they are specialists in the Medicare arena, which is so complicated. Marlon Kirsch is the owner of the company, and Marlon is on the line. Marlon, welcome to the show.
Kim, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, and we are in the open and the magic time for Medicare right now. It started on Friday, correct?
That is correct. It is called the annual enrollment period. It did start Friday, and it goes until December 7th. And this is the time when anyone who is on Medicare, it's their opportunity to review and change their prescription drug program.
Okay, is that the only thing that happens during the annual enrollment period then, is the prescription drug component of it?
Well, the other component is Advantage plans. A fair number of customers are on Advantage plans, and Part D or prescription drugs are included in those plans. And so the people who have elected that coverage for Medicare also have the opportunity to review other plans during the annual enrollment period.
Well, and Marlon, when we met, you and Danielle, Naomi and I, your great team over there at Kirsch Insurance Group, I was just so impressed because you don't work with just one carrier. You work with most of the carriers here in Colorado, but you also have this software program where you can plug in with people with their prescriptions to take a look at if would their plan still be in effect the same way in the next year. I think people assume that's the case, but it isn't, is it, Marlon?
Well, what happens in the business is first of all, when you change, we have software that looks at all the plans for 2022. And unfortunately for many clients, their medications may not change, but the carriers that we represent, which we're a Medicare broker and we represent most of the carriers in Colorado, a lot of them will change their plans in terms of formulary, prices, tiers. So we believe it's really important for clients to review their medications or their Advantage plans during this important election period. And that's something that we do for our clients. That's a service that we offer, and there's no charge to it. And they can simply call us up, and we can review their Medicare program. And hopefully for next year, all of their medications and their program would be right for 2022.
Well, and you know, the way to plan for success is to actually plan. And I would recommend earlier versus later. I know the open enrollment goes through December 7th, but it's always good to get this stuff done early. And so the best way to reach you, I think if they go to your website, that is iKirsch.com, correct? iKirsch.com?
That is correct. It's iKirsch.com.
And that's iKirsch.com. All the contact information is there. And is it something that can be done over the phone, in person, or either way, Marlon?
Well, depending, you know, depending on the client, I mean, we'll do it over the phone, not a problem. Some people like to do it in person. But either way, I mean, we'll help clients through the process.
Okay, and it started on Friday, and so start your engines. It's the race is on to check that out, and there's no cost to do that. Marlon, thank you so much, and it's so great. You are sponsors of both of the shows. Greatly appreciate that. And, again, that's iKirsch.com, iKirsch.com. We'll talk to you next week.
Kim, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Douglas County Commissioner George Teal.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is George Teal, Commissioner George Teal, here in Douglas County, and wanted to talk with him about this whole thing regarding Tri-County, Douglas County getting out of that. Pretty historical when you look at what's happening across the country. Commissioner Teal, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kim. Thanks for having me.
So I've been watching, just seeing headlines, and I'm not quite sure what's going on exactly. Now, Douglas County had been part of Tri-County Health. Set this up for us. What does this look like?
Yeah, so Douglas County had been a part of Tri-County Health for 55 years. I'm only 53 years old, so pretty much my whole life, Douglas County has been a part of Tri-County. You know, I think everybody's familiar with some of the struggles that Douglas County has had with Tri-County over the last year, how Tri-County has responded to the COVID pandemic crisis in Douglas County, but also in the Denver metro area. We separated officially from Tri-County on September 7th. At a board meeting that we had, and then we proceeded to form our own public health board, which is set right now. There's five members. Commissioner Thomas and I are two of the members. We brought over Dr. Linda Fielding from Tri-County Health board appointment for Douglas County, as well as Kim Muramoto. The nurse who's done quite a bit of work with emergency management in her time. And then finally, we appointed a gentleman by the name of Doug Benevento. We're really blessed here in Douglas County to have a guy like Doug. He was part of the Trump administration, and for a period of time, he actually ran the Colorado Department of Health. So great qualifications for our board. We have that two meetings so far. One of those meetings, we went ahead and initiated a search for a public health director. That search is underway right now with an executive recruitment team out of Seattle. We are going to do a nationwide search in order to fill that public health director spot in Douglas County. That's underway. And in our last meeting, we went ahead and issued a public health order. And the importance of that public health order was to go ahead and establish the right for every person in Douglas County to opt out of mask wearing based upon their overall health and the impact those masks have on that. And then we also rewrote quarantine standards for quarantining in our schools. Because, Kim, we've just had so many anecdotal testimony given to us in the last year where the quarantine standards are enacted in the school. There is a positive test, and so they'll quarantine a whole classroom, send everybody home. And over and over and over again, the feedback we're getting is nobody actually got sick. We know COVID doesn't have a large effect, a serious effect with children. Its big effect is with the elderly. And so over and over, it was kids being sent home, missing out on learning opportunities, and there was no spread. There was no wide transmission. The effectiveness of it was a bit of a joke. So we have rewritten those standards. You need to have a symptomatic positive case in order to.
That seems initiate. Like that makes sense.
Well, isn't that what we do in America? Hey, you're sick. Go home. Come back when you feel better. That's essentially the standards that we have adopted.
You know, George, I think if we had done mass testing of another virus, I think very possibly that we would find that many human beings carry that. I mean, we carry many different viruses in our bodies at all times, and our bodies fight them off. And so, but if you do mass testing, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out you're going to get some positives.
Exactly. One of the neat things about taking this step, forming our own health department, Tri-County itself has made the decision, and we're working with them, to actually get out of the COVID disease control business in Douglas County. It's something that they did in reaction to the quarantine standards we set. We are working with Tri-County leadership. We're also working with the leadership of CDPHE at the state level in order to go ahead and, you know, do that in a responsible manner. One of the things that has always frustrated me in this last year is that I talk to agencies like an elder care facility who is responsible for reporting testing to the state. They're not only reporting the positive cases they find, but they're also reporting up all the negative cases they find. One of the first questions I asked when I was still on the Castle Rock Town Council in the early days of the pandemic was, great, we're seeing all the positive cases. What about the negative case count?
Oh, that's a great question, Commissioner Teal. Great question.
Yeah. I mean, a test was done. The test is negative. Way back 30 years ago when I was still a very young Army officer, and I participated in a hot zone exercise, as we called it then. And I think it was really intended for Ebola, was the big concern at that time. And tracking that positive to negative case metric was extremely important in that exercise. And all we've heard in the last year from Tri-County, CDPHE, the CDC is, oh, we're just reporting the positive numbers. We're not going to report those negative tests done. We don't have the capability. And so, what do you mean you don't have the capability? Because when I would speak to a director of a elder care facility, an assisted living facility, no, they're reporting up both those positive and negatives. The good news is, Kim, we're going to be doing that. That's one of the first tasks that a local public health department undertakes to track COVID in a local community. Well, we're going to have those numbers now. We're going to know those negative case counts as well as the positive ones. And we're going to be able to get that metric down because, in my belief, and the data will bear this out, the events will bear this out, but knowing, you know, how many negative cases you have as well as positive cases gives you that feel for, you know, how bad is the spread really right now? You know we have a lot of people testing. I have taken a number of COVID tests when we've had individuals in the county building get sick. I know I've had 3 negative tests right now, not a single positive. And I think that might have a factor in influencing our thinking, our actions, as we move through kind of getting out of this panic emergency state with COVID, and a point where COVID, quite frankly, is going to be like the seasonal flu. Some years it's going to be bad. There was a really bad flu season several years ago, 2019, I believe. But then there are other years that the flu season isn't that bad. It's not a mortality rate maker. It's not severe. You don't have a lot of people going into the hospital. And everybody gets it. Everybody complains about it. Everybody takes a few days off from work. And then everybody goes right back to work, right back with their lives, and tells the story around St. Patrick's Day of that really bad flu they had in December and January.
Okay, George, before we go to break, you said that you've been in contact both with, well, with Tri-County, with CDPHE as well, regarding this reporting. What's their reaction been to you? What's the response?
Well, initially, Tri-County wished to sever all ties with Douglas County essentially overnight. They were pretty hot, and they were being pretty obstinate. I was very disappointed in Dr. Douglas. I was worried that he was putting a political stance above his Hippocratic oath that he took as a medical doctor. Over time, you know, obviously, we're talking about the people's business here. So we tried not to react hastily. We reached out to Director Ryan at CDPHE and some of her senior leadership. We actually reached out to the governor's office at one point in time because of the non-professional activity we were seeing out of Tri-County. That seemed to have done a good job. Like anything in the public policy sphere, as soon as you start talking about it, as soon as you air out the issues and actually break down a task to individual things that individual people need to do, suddenly things are moving much, much better. There may be a safety valve there in that this is the first day of fall break here for the Douglas County Schools. And so we knew that we would have this week to have some really good detailed planning on taking over just the COVID transmission control task in the Douglas County Health Department from Tri-County. Again, we're working with Director Ryan. My hat's really off to her. Of course, she is a former county commissioner, so she does know what we are up against down here in Douglas County. And then, of course, cooler heads have prevailed at Tri-County. They're working with us on a transition plan that I believe we're going to get to. So the first week of November, we are going to have an independent COVID disease control mission here in Douglas County, working straight with CDPHE, and then, of course, liaising with federal agencies as necessary.
So, Commissioner Teal, this is pretty cutting edge when we look at what is happening here in Colorado. What about nationwide? Is there any other counties that are doing what Douglas County is doing?
To my knowledge, no. What I've been told is that we kind of are on the cutting edge. Everything we're doing is legal. It is allowed by Colorado state law. When you're in this multi-county health agency, there is a process defined by law, defined by the revised statutes, to break away and form a county-based public health department. There's also a process to do the other thing and to close the county health department and join a tri-county-like multi-county department. We're following the law. We're following the process. I think we're succeeding pretty well. We have had critics among our populace, among the electorate. We are listening. We are taking into account the concerns people have. But also, Kim, we're getting a lot of support. There's a lot of people who do want to have that direct control. They want to be able to look at me and Commissioner Thomas and say, you know, you guys got to do this right or we will recall you. You will be fired, which I really feel is something that so many people in America, very much people here in the Denver Metro and in Douglas County, have felt like they've lost that control. We've turned our entire nation over to a batch of unelected bureaucrats, all well-meaning, all wanting to do the right thing, but that accountability has been lost.
You have so nailed it, Commissioner Teal, regarding representative government. And that is one of the reasons why we are a strong no on this Prop 119, because it takes away all representative government there. And I think that most everybody in America believes in this American idea of representative government and those representing us accountable to the people. We have a civic duty then, as you mentioned, to understand the issues. That's why I so appreciate you coming on today to explain this. I'm talking with Commissioner George Teal, Douglas County. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. I have some additional questions for him regarding Douglas County getting out of Tri-County Health and creating their own health department. Before we do that, though, this show, you know, comes to you because we are an independent voice. Castlegate Knife and Tool, located in Sedalia, Colorado, is another great sponsor of both of our shows, The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. And they're getting inventory in for Christmas. Christmas, my friends, is just right around the corner. We're hearing there might be some supply chain challenges for your Christmas shopping, so get it done early. Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to do that. Certainly, a nice new knife set for a family is a great idea. That's something that people many times may not splurge on for themselves. So whether or not the person on your guest list is a collector or a chef or a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. I know that they do engraving on many of those gifts, and also they're doing knife sharpening. So check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Douglas County Commissioner George Teal.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I so appreciate you. On the line with me is Commissioner George Teal with Douglas County, Colorado, here in Douglas County, Colorado. And we're talking about Douglas County getting out of Tri-County Health and creating their own health department. And George, I'm hearing a theme of common sense that I really like in this conversation. And let's just think about this. Remember when this whole thing happened? I remember sending you commissioners a text just pleading with you not to shut down our county. At the time, there were so many unknowns, but the narrative out there was that we needed 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Well, here we are 20 months into, instead of talking about, so flatten the curve and don't overwhelm our hospitals, to 20-some months into, if a kid tests positive and is asymptomatic in a classroom, that we quarantine everybody. I mean, that's a big stretch from one place to the other, George.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you. Thank you for pointing out. We are trying to follow common sense. We are 20 months into this. I can remember when I was a Army officer, particularly a young Army officer. You know, you didn't even get 20 months to get good at your job. You got maybe 20 days.
Good point.
Granted, I'll be the first one to explain that that scope is quite a bit different between running a rifle platoon and being an elected official in local government.
But we've had 20 months. We've gone through a whole cyclical year. We've dealt with the seasons. We've dealt with the business cycles of closing the entire society down, reopening. Obviously, we're dealing with the supply chain issue at the national level. We should.
All this is government induced. You know, these challenges are government induced.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that was one of the things that really guided us. I can speak to what we did on the Castle Rock Council in spring of last year, where we wanted to push out some relief money to our local businesses that were just shut down. And we knew it was a Band-Aid. We hoped it was a Band-Aid for a bad cut as opposed to a sucking chest wound. But we definitely wanted to do that. My colleagues, before I came on in January to the Board of County Commissioners, my colleagues, they wanted to do the same thing. And when you look at the CARES Act distributions that my colleagues and my predecessor did, you know, Kim, $90,000 on average was handed out to businesses here in Douglas County, whereas what we saw other counties do, what we saw some of the larger cities here in the metro area do, is they backfilled their own budgets. You know, that was cash that never actually hit the street, never actually hit the economy. They kept it in, City Hall instead of on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
always been an emphasis that we had here at the county. We do have the $68.4 million of ARPA funds, American Rescue Plan Act, that was half of it was received in May. We're expecting the other half to be received in May, unless, of course, it becomes a bargaining chip to pay for the infrastructure plans that are being bandied about in Washington right now. We want to do simple, common sense solutions that either deal with the need to help people get off their knees, get back up on their feet, or we want to make sure that that money is spent to help us create real generational change. You know, take this period of adversity and see it as an opportunity to really make a big change that is something that will last for the next 20, 50 years. Because, of course, Kim, mm-hmm. we're very cognizant on the Board of County Commissioners that, you know, government has created this crisis. Government has created this problem. And some of the solutions, you know, $3.5 trillion that the social care infrastructure bill wants to push out, our kids are going to be paying for that. Our grandchildren are probably going to be paying for that.
Yeah,
it's a hearkening back to the 1960s and the 1970s. Mm-hmm.
And there's something, George, immoral about encumbering debt that the next generations who had no voice in it at all, that they will have to pay off. But a quick question, though, speaking of next generations, that is, you mentioned the masking that the county commissioners had said that there's a public health order. I guess it's a public health order, the right of every person to, I guess, not be masked in Douglas County. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that was a public health order from the public health board. Not necessarily the county commissioners, but every person in Douglas County has the right to opt out of mask wear if they feel that it affects their overall health.
And what about our students in Douglas County schools? We've got a couple of minutes. How does that work for them?
Same way. Parents can make the decision that mask wear has an adverse effect on the overall health of the child. We do ask that it be a written opt-out notification that the school may have. The school, if they feel required, may track. So far, it's working out pretty well. We have over at least in one high school that here in Castle Rock that I try to track, over half of the students, their parents have decided that they do not wish to wear masks. And then there's still not quite half of the students that are still exercising their right to look out for their own health and welfare. And they are still choosing to wear masks. And you know what, Kim? That's fine. That sounds like freedom to me. That sounds like America to me. When each person, parents for their children, adults in the society, they can make that own decision and use their own good judgment on how to best protect their health and welfare.
Well, Commissioner George Teal, I so appreciate that. And when we talk about local government, the most local is the individual, and we're responsible for ourselves. So we've got 1 minute left. Commissioner Teal, your final thought.
You know, COVID's going to be something we're going to be dealing with for years. It was over 100 years ago that the Spanish flu went through America, tore through the world, and we still get seasonal flu shots. It's a part of life. I think we're going to see something similar with COVID. The good news is the most common version of the common cold is actually a coronavirus. So, you know, have we cured the flu? Probably not. Every year we get flu shots. Every year we hear, go get your flu shot. We're probably going to have an immunization program going into the future for coronavirus.
As long as it's not forced, as long as people have a choice.
As long as people have a choice, as long as it's like that yearly flu shot, you know, your HR director pushing out the email saying, hey, everybody, remember, your insurance covers it. Go get it. It's free. As long as it's like that and it's not forced and not compelled, we take the hysteria out of the situation. We apply a healthy dose of common sense. I think we'll all do just fine.
Commissioner Teal, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Kim. I appreciate it.
And our quote for today is an Irish proverb. It says, a good laugh and a long sleep are the two best cures for anything. So my friends, today, be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.